This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Now, lots of us eat curry, but usually in a restaurant or a takeaway, bearing no resemblance, apparently, to what you'd eat if you were invited to an Indian home. Now, Meera Sodha is the author of Made in India, Cooked in Britain, recipes from an Indian family kitchen. And today she'll cook the perfect daily dal. She's already started it. And the fragrance in this studio is fantastic. Meera, why did you choose this recipe?
Well, this is my mother's dal recipe. And I grew up eating this on a daily basis, which is why it's called Daily Dal in the book. I guess the reason why I chose it is because you ask any Indian what their favourite dish is, and most likely they'll tell you that it's their mother's dal recipe. And that's because it's the ultimate comfort dish. You know, this is a taste of coming home for me. It's equivalent to a shepherd's pie or a roast chicken. And it's very, very simple. It's a very easy dish. I think people think that Indian food's very complicated.
But how quick is it? Because presumably, being lentils, do you have to soak them overnight?
You don't. The lentils that I'm using are red lentils. They're split red lentils. And you don't have to soak them at all. You just need to boil them, and they'll cook in about sort of 20 minutes or so.
And what is the wonderful smell I'm smelling? I know you're frying some onions. Is there
anything else? I am frying onions. I'm frying the onions in some in a little bit of oil over a medium heat, and with some peppercorns and cloves. So that's what you can smell right now. And when you start to apply heat to the whole spices, they start to release their oils and give off this incredible fragrance.
You say Indian food isn't complicated. I'm not entirely sure I believe you on that. Because if you're going to make the spices properly,
yeah,
you really do have to have a good range, don't you?
I don't think you need that many spices to get started. There's a photograph of my mother's spice tin right at the start of the book, and there are only about 5 or 6 spices in there. And, you know, you can make an infinite number of curries or dishes with those spices. And I think now the supermarkets do stock really good quality spices.
So what are the essentials? What do you have to have?
I mean, in this dish, what I'm using, I'm actually only using turmeric. And that gives the dish a sort of nice peppery, earthy flavour. Some chilli powder, from Kashmiri chilies, and some coriander. And those are the only 3 spices that I'm using.
How hot are Kashmiri chilies? She said anxiously.
They're very mild. They're the mildest of the chilies, and they give a really good colour and a really lovely flavour without it being sort of a blow-your-head-off kind of heat.
So where do we go next, having done the onions and the cloves? And the pepper, did you say it had gone in already?
Peppercorns, exactly. So just a few cloves and a few peppercorns. So now that the onions are fried, I've been frying those for about 10 minutes. I'm just going to put the garlic and ginger in there. And so the onions have sort of got to that point where they're browning nicely. And they're so soft, you can cut them with the back of a wooden spoon. So I'm just going to put in, I'm pressing 4 garlic cloves into the pan.
And the ginger, have you chopped that up already?
I haven't, no. What I'm going to do...
You squished that as well, because the garlic went through a squisher, didn't it?
I've just peeled it, and I'm just going to grate it in. And there's just a big knob of ginger. And it's starting to sizzle up again.
That's actually a very big knob of ginger.
It is. I guess every mother's sort of got her own secret dal recipe. And in our family, we love ginger. We love ginger. So, and it mellows out as well when you cook it. So you just only need to cook this for about 4 minutes.
So the lentils are in the other pan and they're now ready, are they?
Exactly. In? So I washed the lentils. And that's just to remove any impostors. And you wash it until the water runs clear and then you just boil it in some water.
I'm intrigued by the word impostors.
They're just like dust and little things, little bits
bugs
of dust.
Maybe?
No. no bugs, just dust. And I suppose like you'd wash basmati rice and it just until the water runs clear, so you've got nice clean dal.
Okay, so what goes in next?
So now that we've been frying our ginger and our garlic, we go in with our spices. So I'm going to use half a teaspoon of coriander powder and half a teaspoon of chilli.
Oh, it just smells better.
Half a teaspoon of turmeric. And then I'm going to use a teaspoon of salt. And what we're trying to do is make sort of quite a concentrated base of flavours here. And so when you add it into the dal, it will flavour the whole, you know, it will flavour the whole pan of dal.
What does dal actually mean? What does the word mean?
Dal, actually, it comes from the word, the dal means split. And so I guess, like, it's just, there's split lentils that you use to make dal.
So what goes in next? I can see a tin of tomatoes there.
A tin of tomatoes. And so I'm using a tin of tomatoes. I guess you can use fresh tomatoes. That's no problem at all. But if you're using, you can get really good quality tin tomatoes. And this really is a store cupboard dish. So you can make it sort of when you come home from work and everyone's sort of got a tin of tomatoes lying around. So what I'm doing is I'm using whole plum tomatoes and just crushing them into the pan, pouring them with one hand, crushing them with the other.
Oh, it really smells lovely. How different would you say, then, home cooking in an Indian home is from what you get in a restaurant?
I think it's wildly different. I mean, it's barely recognisable, the two. I think at its worst, food that you get in Indian restaurants is very rich, ghee-filled, very heavy. And, you know, between a group of you, you might order 10 dishes and they'll come out in a varying range of brown and red sauces. Whereas the food that I've grown up with at home is it's very fresh, it's quickly cooked. You use seasonal vegetables. It's made with love. And
and you don't use very much ghee? I mean, here you've
no,
used...
actually, in our family, we don't use very much ghee at all. I tend to use rapeseed oil, and so does Mum. And we have rapeseed oil fields all around us in Lincolnshire, so it's the natural oil that we've always used.
Well, Mira said, I'm going to leave you to finish that off, and I can't wait to try it. So carry on and produce the perfect daily dal. And so we go back. The smell in here has been amazing, has it not, Catherine?
It is absolutely
It is really good. So we go back to Mira Soda.
Hello.
How's it going?
All good. The tomatoes are reducing beautifully, and once that's done, now all we need to do is put the boiled lentils together with the tomatoes.
And do you put the lentils into the pan that's got the tomatoes?
Exactly, exactly.
Not the other way around.
No,
you don't put the sauce into the lentils. Now this is a celebration, your book, of Gujarati home cooking. How does it differ from other Indian cuisine?
I mean, the book's all about my home cooking, and I guess it's sort of got Gujarati influences and also Ugandan influences, as well as, you know, fresh produce that we use from Lincolnshire. In terms of Gujarati cooking, what makes it different from Punjabi and South Indian, etc., it's largely vegetarian, and the flavours that are used, we use a lot of mustard seed and it can often be sort of the same flavour profile that you get in Vietnamese food, sort of sweet, salty, katamita we call it, sort of like sweet and sour. And that's sort of what defines Gujarati cooking.
And how unusual is it for recipes to be recorded? I mean, you've got yours, I think, from your mum, haven't you?
That's right.
And now you've recorded them in a book, but I bet that doesn't happen
very often. Definitely not. No, because I suppose traditionally women were housewives, and so they'd learn how to cook from their mothers or their mother-in-laws. And the way that you do that is by watching and learning. And you, Mum always tells me, you know, you must look, learn how to cook by sight and by taste. And so you start to develop your own judgment that way. Nothing is written down, but recipes are sort of passed on orally in a way that are very easy to remember in the kitchen. Like, you know, wait until the dough should be as soft as your earlobe, and that's when it's ready. And, you know, things like that. So yes, it's very rare for recipes to be written down.
How close are we to my being able to try this?
Oh, we're ready now. We are there.
So you're serving me a whole great bowlful. Which is absolutely brilliant. Now, because people I know don't like hearing presenters eating and talking at the same time, whilst I taste this, I'm going to ask you to tell me about your favourite dish from home.
Favourite dish? I have so many favourites, that's the tough one. But if I had to choose, I would pick a salmon and spinach dish. And obviously, salmon is not native to India. Nor is it native to Uganda, where my mother was born. But we use it because I grew up quite close to Grimsby, the fishing docks. And it's sort of a substitution, I suppose, for, you know, chicken or whatever, lamb, whatever else you might get. And we use baby spinach or fresh spinach, which is just one of my most favourite dishes.
That is really tasty.
Excellent.
My only slight worry about it, you said the chilies were not terribly hot. They are a bit hot for my delicate Yorkshire palate. But it is really, really good. And you would eat that, would you really eat it every day?
Yeah, every day, every other day. You'd eat it with chapatis or rice and with some yoghurt and pickles. And often you have like another vegetable dish with it as well. So, yeah, it's something that I crave on a regular basis.
I can tell why. It's got that... you said it was a comfort food.
Yeah, it really fills you.
And it is. Am I tasting the ginger or the chilli that feels a little bit hot?
Ginger, chilli, there's a little bit of black pepper in there. Just a nice combination of warming spices.
Yeah, I think when I make it for myself, I might just turn that side of things down slightly. So how did you actually decide that you were going to make all this into a book?
Well, what happened was I was out one night with university friends in my early 20s, and we ended up in a curry house on Brick Lane. And I was the only Indian person at the table, and they all turned around to me and said, "Mira, what should we order? The lamb pasanda, the korma?" And it dawned on me in that moment that they thought this was real Indian food. And every Indian knows that it's not. And so I rang Mum up and I said, "Mum, you know, you've got to send over your recipes so I can cook for all of my friends and show them this incredible food." And she said, "Oh, I've never written anything down." And I was horrified that I suddenly, you know, that I might lose hundreds of years worth of recipes unless I learnt how to cook this food and captured all of it in it somewhere. So it sort of was a project that I never intended to publish it. It was just meant to be for me and for friends and for people that loved her food. And
how do you describe the dough has to be as soft as your earlobe?
How do I describe it?
I mean, is there another way of saying that? Or well, is that the way you test your dough yourself?
I guess I know what the dough should feel like when I make my chapatis, because I make them daily now. You can feel it in your hands, the texture. Obviously, when I describe it in the book, I try and use like as many indicators as possible, so that if you're cooking in the middle of nowhere and you don't have any scales, that you might also know sort of when it's at the right consistency. There are measurements in there.
Mira Soda, thank you very much indeed. And we should just mention that the recipe for the Daily Dial is on the Woman's Art website under the Cook the Perfect collection. And you can also download the podcast. Thank you very much for being with us.
You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.